story of the ice thing. Like, probably a lot of people have heard it, but I don't know.
Story of the bicycle?
Oh, I only said it 2 days ago. Oh. Didn't I ask?
One, do you remember you mentioned...
I can't hear.
You mentioned you were about 11 years old when Babajan died.
Yeah.
I've never heard any story of your having met her.
Oh. And not only met her, I would visit her very often, along with mother. Usually it was twice a week, but at least once a week we would go and we would be with Babajan. And as I said, in those days, there was so little traffic, one walked in the middle of the road until you heard a horse carriage coming behind you ringing the bell. They had a bell, clink, 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 or they said, Bajo, Bajo. You know, with the whip going. So, and we, or if it was evening time, because coming back from Babajan was pretty late, where the lights would be on. And when I said lights, I meant...
When are you leaving?
This was after... Ah, yes. So we would have kerosene lamps, even in the lamp posts. A man would come by in the evenings with a bamboo ladder, prop it against the lamppost, go up and light with a match, or put the kerosene and fill the lamps. So we didn't have it very bright or something. But coming back, so it used to be pretty dark. So this was after the storm was over in my mother's life. This tremendous storm about her son. She had this inner fight, which also reflected in some of the outer actions of my mother, against Babajan for taking her son, and against Upasni Maharaj for keeping her son. So, you know, my mother was not the type who would take things lying down, and she was not going to stand and by and watch these people take possession of her son. Here was this Mohammedan old lady in Pune, and then that Hindu old man in Sakori. Why were they after her son? But this, after the whole thing was over, when she had accepted the fact that he was for the whole world, and she had great respect and love then for both Upasni Maharaj and Babajan, she knew who the status of her son. So it was after all. She didn't say so in so many words, but the very fact that she would go to Babajan, sit at her feet, go every week, along, take me along, the way she would go to Upasni Maharaj, the way she washed her son's feet in public in 1937, and many, many other things, this was accepting him. So we would go. We would go to Babajan and sit there. The men would sit one side, the women would sit one side. And it was so beautiful. I would, of course, only want to be with Baba. But the times when I could not be with Baba and had to be in Pune and had to be in school, it was so wonderful to have Babajan. It was like a part of him, you know. It was very, very lovely. So once I remember that, I'll just tell you one incident. When we were going to Babajan, at that time my sister-in-law, who lived in the ashram with the other women with Baba, was sent home for a few days. She was known as Big Korshid, to differentiate from the Korshid that you see, who's younger. Well, my sister-in-law was older, wife of my eldest brother, Jamshid. So when Baba would send her home sometimes for a couple of days or something, for some work, I was only a child, I don't know why, but I loved it. You know, if the next best thing to being with Baba was having someone who was with Baba come to you, be with you, you know. So we went to Babajan in the evening. So as we were walking along the road to Babajan's, the lights were already on. As I said, there were those kerosene lamps, so that part of the roads would be again in dim light. Then there would be a patch of brighter light, again dim light. And if a horse carriage, like a tonga or a Victoria, there's a bigger carriage, it's known as a Victoria, goes by, the carriages had kerosene lamps, lighted lamps in the front. You know, like the car has this lamp, this headlamps. So you automatically know as you're walking when a carriage goes by, oh, here's a carriage going back. So this time, when my mother, my sister-in-law and I were going towards Babajan, there was the plop of the horse's hoofs. So we knew that there was a carriage coming from behind, so we moved to the side of the road, as usual. But suddenly we realized, you know how a sixth sense tells you what happened. There's no light, because along with that you would see light projected from the headlamps, but there was no light. This was all in darkness. This is all going on very fast. This happened all very fast. And suddenly, before we knew it, we heard my sister-in-law turned her head and said, Baba! And she started running on the road, on the highway. And so the moment she said, Baba, and I turned my head to look into this unlighted horse carriage, this Victoria. And as I looked, all I could see was a person's view, just from the knee downwards. I saw Sadra, I saw Baba's legs, and I saw his feet and the sandals. So I also got excited. So I started running after my sister-in-law. And she ran so suddenly and running so fast in sapat, you know, the kind of slippers I wear. So one of the slippers came off, but she didn't care. She still kept running. I was running after her. And my mother shouting from behind, wait a minute, wait for me. What's happened? Why are you running? Wait. We're not going to wait. She says, when she turned around, she saw all of Baba. Although it was dark, she saw the sadra, she saw the shoulders, she saw the hair. That's where she said, Baba, and started running. Now, so we go, and we went up to Babajan's. The carriage went close to where Babajan's seat is, even now, where you see it, you know where it is. So that the carriage went, when it reached close to where Babajan's seat is, it turned and went into a lane, which you see right next to Babajan's, a narrow lane, which had a dead end, as I remember. It was a dead end there, I knew. I don't know about what's now, but at that time it was a dead end. So that carriage went in. So when we came up to that point, now of course we'll have Baba, and we turned, but no carriage. You see that space, all of it, but no carriage. So we asked these other people, the carriage that went in, where did it go? Where did the carriage that came? Victoria? Victoria is a big horse carriage. They looked at us, sort of, you know, these people are carrying Victoria here in this lake. I said, oh, they don't understand. We asked somebody, because we'd seen it with our own eyes. We came to the dead end. In the meantime, my mother has joined me. And we told her, I said, look, Mom, this is what happened. You know, we couldn't stop because of Baba. Baba, Meru. So she called her son Meru. Not Merwan, but Meru. Oh, she said, that's the endearment in the dialect, Persian dialect, Dari. She said, see, probably the whole of Pune knows Meru is here, except his mother. He never will tell his mother. I mean, wait, mother, please, Nemo, anyway, there was no carriage. So we went home, mother was still grumbling why her son neglected even to inform his mother, knowing how happy she would be that her son had come. And he told everybody, probably everybody knew. I said, well, mother, it couldn't have been everybody. So anyway, we went home, and then my mother sent we decided to send a telegram, because we found that the ones who were supposed to know didn't know either. You know, Patil didn't know, so-and-so didn't know, such-and-such didn't know, because when she came home, she made enough of a fuss about it, so that I think one of the brothers went around. Anyway, the thing is, this is all guesswork, the thing is that we sent a telegram, and the telegram reply came back like that and saying, one of the Mandli sent the telegram saying, Baba was with us all the time, he has not left Mirabai.